Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Our number is 855-500-7445. And with me here, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, General Galen Shaw, and Robert Leonard. At this hour, Margaret, you are going to talk about Thanksgiving time, right?
Yes, but I thought, and I don't know, Bud.
Yeah, Dr. Sandler called back. He said he's going to talk about a sleep thing.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, he said he had some statistics. Statistics on sleep?
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry about that, Doc. I guess we can bring him back on now, although I don't know whether I hung up on him or he hung up on me, but he was getting into... what were we talking about, Doctor, when I last talked to you?
Well, I don't know. It might have been the fact that somebody had the problem with my beta thoughts. And that you thought you thought it was funny that I was sending a tape into CNN.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, never mind about that. I told you that I was having a hard time sleeping.
Right.
And you had some statistics?
Well, I wanted to, first of all, I had done some research on this over the weekend. Now, sleep is, according to some researchers, and I happen to agree with this, is overrated. We do need sleep. There's no question about it. But we can stay awake much longer than we realize, and we are actually able to stay awake and function, do relatively good work. There was a story about Richard Camaretti, who drove a tram for an amusement park in, I believe it was Ohio, or someplace similar to that, Ohio or Illinois. Through the sheer force of will, he stayed awake for something like 7 days and conducted his job perfectly. He was never late. He drove this tram. We would pick people up and take them to the park, like Disneyland, you know?
Yeah. 7 days?
7 days. 7 days. Wide awake. He eventually drove the tram off a bridge. I'm trying to get the date here.
Oh, my God.
It was in 2006 when he finally lost control of his senses.
So this was in 2006. He'd stayed awake for 7 days.
That was his all-time record, 7 days. But when he drove this tram off a bridge, he'd been awake for 3 days. And he drove it intentionally off of a bridge. Now, they say intentionally. I think that... I think they're overrated. I don't think that's the case. When they pulled him out of the water, he was saying something like "kill me" or something. That they thought it was a suicide attempt. It was simply that he'd fallen asleep and driven off the bridge. So, one of my colleagues.
Can I interrupt you for a minute?
Yeah.
It doesn't really make any difference whether this man was attempting suicide or not. The guy fell asleep after 3 straight days, drove a tram off a bridge. Were there people on this tram?
There were people. No one was hurt. It fell something like 60 feet and hit the water. It was a bridge over a waterfall. So what happened was the tram hit the water and then went over the falls.
And no one was hurt?
Nobody was hurt. There were 4 people on a tram. It was the end of the shift, and it was the middle of the afternoon. He didn't have a whole lot of business, but he was taking 4 people to their cars. It went off this bridge. It went over the falls. They didn't find the 4 people for several hours, and they thought that they'd lost them, but it turned out these people had been washed down this... they'd been washed down this waterway and wound up near the parking lot. They got out, went to their cars, got in their cars, and drove home. They contacted them later.
You know, that's the biggest load of rubbish I've ever heard in my life.
I agree.
Well, now, wait a minute.
What do you mean? You think I'm lying?
I don't know whether you're lying. No, I don't think you're lying. I think the information you have...
This is information, Phil, called from the National Sleep Center, okay? This is information that colleagues of mine have. This is not baloney, and I'm a little offended that you would think it is.
Well, think about it, Doc. The guy's driving a tram for 3 days, no sleep, drives it off a bridge, hits the water, goes over the waterfall, the people are washed down this river, they get out of the water, they go to their cars, they get in their cars, and they go home. Now, how likely is that?
Everything about the story is very unlikely, but this is also proof positive that the human body can stay awake much longer than we realize.
Well, that may be well and good, but I'm here to tell you that with my sleep problem... If I go a night without sleep, It is a terribly, horrifically disastrous day for me awaiting. I'm telling you that right now, okay? There's nothing fun about it.
No, I know, but your mind is not trained yet to enjoy the sleeplessness, the sheer the wonder of being awake for so long and not having a problem. You're telling yourself to have a problem.
Well, Dr. Sadler, you're talking about mind over matter here, and I don't think it works with sleep.
Well, again, I hate to pull rank, but who's the doctor here? You know, and I've heard Dr. Turner say this and others. Who is the doctor here?
You're the doctor, and I'm not saying that your information is, you're not reading this information correctly, but I'm saying whoever is doing this research, I don't buy it, man. I'd have to see a lot more results than this guy, Richard Camaretti, driving his tram off a bridge.
No, he stayed awake, though, for 3 days, is the part you're supposed to remember. And he was awake for 7 days.
He was awake for 7 days. And why did he go to sleep after the 7 days?
Something happened. I don't know what it was. I think it was a boiler room exploded or something, but he was fine. And you see, you're looking for...
A boiler room exploded.
Hold on for a minute. You're looking for the failures. I'm trying to tell you where the success stories are.
What was the boiler? I thought he drove a tram.
Yeah, he was also in charge of lighting a boiler in wintertime, because apparently when the employee showed up, it was very early in the morning, it was very cold. And he had to get a water heater or a boiler or something going.
And he did something to cause it to explode?
I don't know what he did, but it blew it off the foundations, whatever this little hut was that they had it in. But he was fine. No one was killed. They had to shut down, I think, that part of the park for a few days while they put a new boiler in.
And they got a guy there that hasn't slept. See, I think that's insane, man. Did his employers know that he was being kept awake?
He wasn't being kept awake. What are you trying to do? He did it on purpose. He was part of...
He was part of a test group.
That's correct.
Well, somebody should have told his employers.
See, again, you want to talk about employers, you want to talk about all of this stuff, you want to talk about boilers exploding and trams going off of bridges into waterfalls and people getting washed down a river. I'm trying to tell you the guy stayed awake for 7 days.
Well, Dr. Sadler...
Nobody cares about that. The guy's like... blowing things up.
Dr. Sadler, this is beside the point. The 7 days awake doesn't prove anything other than the man was able to drive a tram off a bridge.
He drove the tram off a bridge after 3 days awake.
After 7 days, you're right, a boiler exploded. I'm sorry, I got that wrong.
You know, what a pain in the ass. You know?
Okay, that's great. All right, well, thanks a lot, Doc. Very professional of you, man.
Are you having him on again?
Not after that. He's going to have to call up and apologize. I guess he figures I owe him an apology because of the CNN thing.
Well, I think you might, Phil.
Well, let me tell you something. I think it's doing that guy a grave disservice telling him that he could take over James Earl Jones' job as the voice of CNN. That's number one. Number two, so he owes me an apology, you know, for saying what he just said about me. I defended him. And then number two, we got to start vetting some of this information, bud.
That sounded good to me at the time.
Yeah, you mean like people can live to be 120, they can live for as long as they want to, as long as they're eating yogurt or whatever that was?
Well, that was about the yogurt-eating people in Georgia.
Yeah.
Okay, well, whatever it was that he was talking about, we got to start. And oh, yeah, that was it. His mother lived to be almost 100. Now, he hated her guts, but by God, she had... Anyway, world-famous Phil Henry Show. All right, let's get into the Thanksgiving do's and don'ts. Now, we have Margaret Gray, who will be talking with us about that, as well as Frank Gray, as the Gray family celebrates Thanksgiving. Are you having some people over?
Yes, we have quite a few people. We like to entertain. We do have an open house policy on Thanksgiving, so many of our friends from show business and the law profession come in. We don't try to look down our noses at some of these homeless and some of these bums that wander. And I say bum, I'm not saying that in a disparaging way, but I can't have that anymore. So when we do see them wandering in...
Well, your neighborhood has homeless people?
Well, no, the word drifts down to the street. It drifts down there to Lincoln, and it drifts down there to some of the main thoroughfares that... Oh, that lady has an open... That lady in the Palisades, you know, she has that open house. So,
All right. Margaret Gray will be back with us here on the whole Thanksgiving thing. 855-500-7445 is our number. And don't forget, our website is philhenryshow.com. Now, I want to let you know that we have inaugurated two things today on our website. One is the gift subscription feature that so many people had requested, and it is now operative. So if you want to get a gift subscription to the Phil Hendry Show website, go to philhendryshow.com and click on the link that we have there for you, the store. And you go to our online store, and you can pick up a gift subscription for anyone that you would like. The regular all-access subscription, which is $9.99. And now we have an audio-only tier. So we have two tiers, and this is what I was sort of hinting at with some of our BSPs when I was doing a Q&A last Friday. I said we have a couple of features rolling out, one of which I would like to tell you about, but I can't. The double tier now means that if you'd like all access, which is all of the video casts, all of the video archive, as well as all the other video features that we've done down through the years, you have the all access with audio only. It's $4.99, and that gives you access to simply the audio podcast, the audio files of the show, all of the audio going back some, God knows, over 15 years. So check it out at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for the new gift subscriptions and the new double-tier subscription, making the Phil Hendry Show available to more and more, and hopefully all over the world. No matter where people live, no matter how remote, no matter how far-fetched, everyone can hear us. All right, the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, 855-500-7445. And I hope you guys drive carefully. You know, every year on Thanksgiving, we generally do the old check-in wherever you are thing.
Yes, how well people are driving to and fro Grandma's house, and some of it is very depressing.
Well, yes, I imagine it takes a long time, doesn't it?
It takes more than a long time to some people. Just here in California, and it would depend on wherever you are, whether you're back east, midwest, down south, northwest, you know, there's a usual route that you take to, let's call it grandma's house. That could be anybody's house, your sister's, your mom's, your dad's, you know, a friend's. So there's a route that you take, and it usually takes thus and so, this many minutes to go there. On Thanksgiving, throw it right out the window, man, because it's like hours. Hours and hours and hours. And I don't know if things have changed over the last 10 years or not, but I sure hope they have, because I wouldn't sit in the car, man. And I remember friends of mine, especially if you're going between here and San Francisco, forget it, you know.
Well, that's ordinarily, if you're making good time, that's a 5-6 hour drive. And on Thanksgiving, I can't even imagine.
Probably take you like 2 days to get there.
Well, that'll take 2 days, man. You're going to miss Thanksgiving.
Not 2 days, but it's a long time. It's 12 hours. Or not 12. It's long. It's longer by 3-4 hours at least. So,
it's 5 hours plus 4 equals.
Yeah.
Take your time, man.
It equals 9.
Exactly, it equals 9.
Thank God you got that right.
Bud, have you thought of having your vision checked?
Why?
Well, I don't know why. I know you can't add, but that's got nothing to do with your vision, does it?
No.
No, it doesn't.
All right.
Okay, so anyway.
Well, I was thinking of, I don't know.
Let me just, here, Thanksgiving travel plans. Here's a story here. Thanksgiving travel plans under threat in Northeast as deadly storm closes in. A deadly wintry storm system is threatening plans for millions of Americans who will fly or drive somewhere on Thanksgiving. Hopefully, says Alexander Smith and Aaron McClam of NBC News, a plane will crash and...
Give me that. What are you talking about?
Well, that's how they're reporting it.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. Look at that. A deadly storm. I hate the way that these people can't report anything without making... And her name is Aaron McClam. Don't you think you'd change your name?
I would, yeah.
Why should she change her name?
You're kidding, right?
Why should she change her name?
And you're kidding.
No, I'm not.
Nor am I.
It's a female, McClam. Clam?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that is a good point.
No, I'm not kidding you.
Oh, get out of here, will you? Grow up.
I would love to grow up, Phil. It's been one of my fondest dreams is to grow up. But as long as I work around men... there, that's what I think of men.
Nice one.
Thank you.
Ms. Gray, are you saying McClam
means like what I think you say it means?
Yes. Did you? Is he just getting it now?
Robert, that's what she's talking about.
Oh. Yeah, I guess you got a point.
No, she doesn't have a point. No, she doesn't. Obviously, this girl has kept her name all these years because nobody is giving her a hard time about it, and she doesn't give a damn. It's her family name.
Could be a stage name.
Now, that's a good point. I didn't think of that.
A stage name.
What does he mean by stage name?
It's a name that you would take for the stage. It would be like, you don't like your regular name, so you take the name of, Larry Carlisle or something like that.
Who would take the name Larry Carlisle? You got to be kidding.
I don't know. It's a name that you take that sounds show busy.
Well, that's a good point.
No, that's not a good... Aaron McClam? What the hell is show busy about that?
Are you kidding? I just got done telling you.
Yeah, that'd be... Give her carte blank.
Carte blank, huh?
It's carte blanc. Carte blanc.
Carte blanc.
It's carte blanche.
No, carte blanche?
No, it isn't. It's carte blanche.
It's carte blanc. How about that? Split the difference. Now, Aaron McClam is not a stage name. Do you want to read this story or not?
Yes, I want to read the story. Thank you for taking my observations and squatting over them and letting loose, Phil, with just about anything. I have an observation and you decide to squat on it. You have an observation and everyone's got to kneel at your feet and go, oh, God, Phil, you're so smart and you're so funny. What don't you do? I'll bet you're the best lay a girl's ever had, aren't you?
Hardly.
Yeah, there you go, hardly. Here he's talking about a heart.
All right. Aaron McClam. She said what else?
As far as I'm concerned, this is how this story reads. We hope you all die in a plane crash.
Give me that. Storms have already heaped up... Well, that's a terrible thing to say.
Well, that's the way it's written.
Storms have already heaped up to a foot of snow on the mountains of Utah and Colorado and claimed 13 lives.
That's what I'm talking about right there. Look at this. She's got deaths.
Well, that's the news. What are you going to do? That's the news. Look, the news is what should not be a part of the ordinary, but what is out of the ordinary and what is important. So if you have somebody, let's say, who is going to and fro and they're just fine, and all of a sudden their lane of travel, their journey is a hazard, you got to tell them these things. All right, don't forget the baster, your Thanksgiving tool. On the line with us here is Frank Gray, the husband of Margaret Gray. He's over at Ted's of Beverly Hills this evening. And Margaret is on the line. Obviously, Margaret's in studio with us. Frank, how are you?
Hey, young man, I'm better than Custer.
Great. Margaret's here.
Frank, we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay. I like Thanksgiving. It's one of my favorite times of year. What are you going to talk about?
Well, we're going to talk about having what we're going to need. What are the essentials of Thanksgiving?
All right, well, should I go first, or does he go?
I think you should go first.
Okay. The first thing that you need is containers. There's going to be leftovers, so the first thing I think you need to get, and I know Margaret has been to these container parties. Didn't you host a container party, honey?
Yes, we did. We had a Tupperware party.
All right, so he has a Tupperware party with his girlfriends, and you know, women love to have these parties, and he's one of them, and his girlfriend, who's the other gal, Tammy?
Yeah, there's a Tammy Judson has one.
Yeah, Tammy has one, and his husband is my law partner, as a matter of fact, Phil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Wayne Judson. And I always call him Jetson, you know. I call him Jetson, and I call her William Jetson. And
you're talking about who?
I'm talking about my law partner. I call her Jetson, and I call him Jane Jetson, just as a joke.
In other words, the Jetsons.
Oh, the Jetsons on.
Yeah, but their name is Judson. But I call him Jane, and I call her whatever the husband's name was.
Yeah, so what was his name?
George.
That's it. I call her George, and I call him Jane.
Okay, so, all right, so that's great.
Yeah, so why are you always in a hurry, Phil? Can't you get to, don't you enjoy the humor of that?
That's very funny.
Let me just run it by you again. The husband, I call... George Jetson. That's what I call her. And the wife...
Yeah, and the wife, you call him Jane.
No, I call him Jane.
Yeah, that's what I... Okay. Look, will you hold on?
What is he... Boy, what did he tell you this was going to be?
Who?
Margaret, what did he say?
He said that you were going to come on with her, him. Hold on, will
you? Jeez, you are.
Phil, what's going on?
Nothing's going on. The guy's driving me nuts, that's all, with him and her and him.
You know he has the gender confusion. You're aware of that.
I've been knowing that, and I've been aware of that for the longest bloody time, okay? We'll be right back here with Frank, and we'll be back with her and him, Margaret, and more on Thanksgiving with all of yous, Phil Henry Show, and philhenryshow.com. Don't forget, we've got that double tier now of subscriptions over at philhenryshow.com, audio only or all access, plus the new gift subscriptions. World famous Phil Henry Show. Wow, that's just
that is evil.
Well, it's Slayer. That's who it is. And what is that called? I like that. It's called Raining Blood.
Oh my God. Okay.
All right. Anyway, welcome back. I like it. Like it a lot. I like anything that's just. I like anything dark and boding and foreboding or boding. World famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. And on the line with us is our good friend General Shaw. And guess what? Frank is on the line.
Yes, I'm over here. Come on
down. This is Ted Bell, and as Phil is trying to find his way through the show tonight, let me just tell you that we've got the great prime rib, we've got the Kansas City steak, we got the porterhouse, your choice for one or two. We got it going on. Let me tell you what.
All right, Ted, good to have you with us here. Ted's of Beverly Hills joining us. Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills. General Shaw is in studio. Frank Gray is on the phone with Ted. And Margaret is here as well. Frank, we were talking. And Ted, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be with you. And I didn't know I'd have the great honor of being here with the great August Frank Gray. How you doing, young man?
Hey, listen, Ted. I want to thank Ted Bell and everything that she's done for me. And hold on for a minute. I'm saying something nice here. I want to thank Ted Bell and everything she's done for me. She's one of the great, great business people that I've ever met, and everything that she's done. Thank you, Ted, from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you. All right. I want to let Frank know something. Frank, the kitchen staff has a gift for you. Just go straight back into the kitchen there.
Right over here?
Yeah, right there. You go. Yeah, and then come on back out. I just want to let you know something, Phil, and let the audience. I don't know how much more of this I can stand. You know, I don't like being referred to as her.
Well, you know what? This is about Thanksgiving, so just bear with it, okay?
It's humiliating. Hey, here he comes. What do you got?
Oh, this is great. The kitchen staff gave me a carving knife. Very nice.
Yeah.
It looks like it's been used. I don't quite understand.
Well, this is German steel.
Oh. Hey, honey, Ted gave me a carving knife. That's very nice of her, isn't it?
Yes, it's very nice. Thank you, Ted.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay, so anyway, getting back to, that's the most bizarre gift I think I've ever gotten. But anyway, getting back to what I was saying, Ted is a wonderful guy, and her restaurant is one of the best, and of course she's married to a terrific, terrific gal in Marcy. I was talking to Marcy the other day, and he was telling me that Ted and him may have another baby.
Really?
That's right. So, Ted, congratulations to your wife, because he, I guess, is going to be expecting another child. And, Ted, of course, she's very shy about these things.
Yeah, great.
Well, congratulations, Ted, on the new baby.
We haven't even decided. You know, Marcy was talking about it, but we haven't decided on it.
I think I was talking to him, and he said to me that you, meaning his husband, he said she is just a doll, and she'll, I'm sure, be very, very happy to be the father of another baby. That's how happy she is when I have a kid.
Uh-huh.
All right.
What's so funny?
Nothing at all. Go ahead, Ted, take it away.
Yeah, okay, I'll take it away. So on Thanksgiving, here at Ted's of Beverly Hills, I know that what you like to do is have that Tupperware, ladies and gentlemen. There's no question about it. And we suggest that Tupperware, you toss any parterless bottoms or lids in the cleanup session. It leaves you with just a few choice sets you don't want to give away. Buy inexpensive containers at your supermarket or consider the biotech takeout boxes, which you can order in small quantities for just $1.10 each. Okay, Frank?
All right, now, any kind of tinfoil will work if you want to keep side dishes warm, but a heavier weight one is necessary to keep turkey breast meat juicy and prevent the skin from burning before the rest of the bird is cooked, which is a likely scenario since higher-fat dark meat cooks slowly than white. Many cooks like to cover the bird loosely. And Ted, being the owner of a restaurant, she, I'm sure, probably likes to cover the bird loosely with foil. Doesn't she? Oh, I'm sorry. She's right here. Ted?
Yes, he does. I do.
So many cooks like to cover the bird loosely with foil, especially that dark meat. I wonder if she likes dark meat. Does she? Let's get her over here. Ted, do you? What's wrong? Anyway.
Nothing. Okay, thanks very much. And now, Margaret, take it away.
Thank you very much, Ted. Serving spoons are very important. Have at least six ready, one for each side dish, plus a few extras. In case... What is going on?
What's going on?
You lost your mind. I think she's lost her mind.
I don't want to be called she anymore. Do you understand?
I think she's lost her mind. I don't know what she's talking about.
Okay, Frank, just let me have the... Give the phone to Ted and,
I'll give the phone to Ted. I'm leaving. I'm going home to my wife. He understands me.
All right, I'll see you later, buddy.
Yeah, to hell with it.
What happened?
I don't like it, okay? I was standing tall, and I was doing well until he got to the part about how I wonder if she likes dark meat, and that's...
Okay, I mean, you know and you have known that he has a problem.
Well, yeah, does he ever have a problem? When's he getting that fixed?
Look, Ted, this is not something that's on a clock. Frank has a very debilitating mental condition that is the result of some very poor choices he made as a young man, and I'm talking about STDs, that eventually went to the brain. Now, other than that problem of gender confusion, he is a perfectly fine man, and he's totally sane.
Well, he may be sane, but when he talks about me as a she, I can't take it. I just can't take it.
Well, you've got a very, very thin... your self-esteem, I think, is a little shallow to be driven nuts by that.
I don't care. I want him out of here, all right, before I start talking like him.
Well, I don't know what he's going to say when he gets home, but he'll probably be very angry and very humiliated.
What? Humiliated about what?
You threw him off the air, man. He was on the air.
I didn't throw him off.
Well, you were grabbing the microphone or something, the telephone from him.
All I said to him was, let me take this next one. And he said, no, I'm going to do it. And I said, I can't take it any longer. And he said, well, what are you talking about? And I said, you referring to me as a her liking dark meat. And he said something along the lines of, I thought you did, wink, wink. Okay?
All right. I don't know, and I don't care. But we cannot have this any longer on the air, so...
We can't have it any longer. What on the air?
I can't. I'm not going to revisit the bit. Okay.
Well, the next time you have Frank on the air with you, make sure he's a solo. I'm not flying with this guy anymore, okay? He flies solo, all right? I fly solo, he flies solo, all right? That's the only way I can do it.
I understand.
God.
2 days before Thanksgiving, huh?
Well, it's a family spat. They happen.
Yeah, that happens in my house, too.
Family spat. What else?
Well, I was talking about serving spoons. Have at least six serving spoons ready, one for each side dish, plus a few extras in case you wind up pulling one into service in the kitchen. Then you want to have a good turkey baster that doesn't drip, is dishwasher safe, and comes with additional tips, if one of them melts. You don't ever use this, and I heard this said on one of your programs, you don't use it for you know what.
For what?
For getting pregnant.
Oh, God.
Are you kidding?
Well, I heard What's-Her-Name talking about it.
Yeah, I do.
Phil, let me say, I don't know how commonly it's used, but I have, Robert just indicated, I have heard that it's used for those purposes. Of course, I wouldn't... Don't quote me on that.
No, I won't quote you on that. I'm not going to go anywhere and say, General Galen Shaw, retired United States Army, says turkey basters... are great for artificial insemination.
Yes, don't do that.
No, I won't.
Would you ever?
No, I won't, okay?
You don't want me to quote you either, General?
No, I don't want you to quote me. Do I stutter? No, I don't want you to quote me.
Why, just so you can quote a U.S. Army general on turkey basters?
May I finish?
Go ahead.
That's it.
So you're finished. All right, so there are, that's very quick and handy. Here's one more here. Thanksgiving side dish recipes from the world's best chefs. Oh, that was something else.
Yeah, well, that's why I like this article, Phil. It was very succinct. You want to have your containers. You want to have tin foil. You want to have serving spoons. You want to have basters.
You want to have a ride home. Yeah, give me five.
Yeah, ride home.
Well, you do want to have a designated driver if you are planning on visiting a friend's and drinking to excess, I guess.
Whoever plans on drinking to excess, in other words, you plan on drinking and you plan on getting maybe hammered. You might even plan on, you know, feeling the effects of the booze. I want to get drunk tonight. But nobody ever wants to drink to the point where they can't drive or that they're going to get arrested or that they're going to, unless they're completely stupid, you know.
What do you mean?
When you say if you're planning on drinking to excess.
I don't know. I mean, I've got a lot of friends say, I'm going to go out tonight. I'm going to get totally rat-housed, you know.
Yeah, I've got a lot of people in rat-housed.
What do you mean rat-housed?
I've heard rat-tailed, and I've heard crap-housed.
Yeah, but we put it together.
Rat-housed, okay.
Yeah, they'll say that.
Well, I don't know this generation today, but when I was young, people would say, let's go get drunk, let's howl at the moon, that kind of thing.
Right, I know, but what I'm saying is, I don't ever hear people say, let's drink to excess.
Well, obviously you've never in the military. I've known a lot of guys in the military would say, I want to drink tonight until I throw up. And that would be the plan. I want to vomit. I'm not going to stop until I throw up. And only then will I decide if I'm ready to turn in for the night or I've got a little bit of a frog in my throat. It happened when I was talking about donkey shows.
Yeah, I know. Do you need another drink of water?
I'll just get another drink of water. But I know guys that have said, I am not going to give up drinking tonight until I throw up. And
your voice just cracked again.
Oh, it did, yes. I want to get rat-tailed, and I'm sorry.
Give him some water, okay?
All right, General, drink some bottle of water here.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 855-500-7445. Joe Dickhead and the Professor will be up next to talk about how well they did with their football picks over this past weekend. That ought to be interesting because they didn't do too good. And let's see what else. Well, all of that ahead. World famous Phil Hendry Show. And the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com till 10 o'clock here from the El Pacifico. And if you're looking at our Phil TV in HD, you'll see the backdrop is the El Pacifico, but that's not California, that's Hawaii.
I was going to say, I've never seen waves like that in California, and I understand in Hawaii they have the pipe. Is that what it is?
No, it's called a pipeline.
They have the pipeline on the North Shore.
Oh, the North Shore of what? Is that
Oahu, of the main island, General, when you and Patsy were on...
When we were at Hickam Field, that's right. Yes, I didn't go surfing, but I certainly knew a lot of the guys that did, you know.
Well, that's what that is. That's Oahu. I don't know if you ever went up to the North Shore of Oahu, but during the wintertime, it's fantastic, you know.
Whatever happened to the television show North Shore?
That was a reality show.
Yeah, it's a reality show of a surfer, but it wasn't any good.
Why wasn't it any good?
I don't know. Why wasn't it any good, Robert?
Well, because all they saw, like, the guy was really boring. I mean, he surfed and everything, but...
He was really boring? You know, if you're going to show surfing movies and surfing in general, I think if it was ever really interesting to the mass of television viewers and movie viewers, would have by now established itself as a major genre. But it's not. It's interesting to... I like it. I think it's an amazing sport to watch. I really do. And I love the culture around it. But I've found that... It's either an acquired taste, it's regional, or it just isn't that interesting to a lot of other people. Because you would think by now, with all of the history of surfing and so much of the culture devoted to, to celebrating it, you'd think by now there'd be some serious surfing shows.
You know, that's a very good point. I don't think there's been any.
Well, there've been beach shows, you know.
Like what?
Well, way back when I was a kid, they had TV shows. They had private eye shows that were on the beach. They had private investigator shows that were like Malibu, and I think they even had a couple that were Miami. And so they did a whole, well, Hawaii 5-0, you know.
And what was the one with Tom Selleck?
Oh, that was Magnum P.I. I love that show because I love John, the actor John Hillerman, who was a very dear friend of mine.
He was.
Yes, he was. And an outstanding actor. And that was Magnum P.I. And he and the P.I. stood for private investigator.
Yes, I know. And Tom Selleck became a big star because of that.
Tom Selleck really did kick into overdrive with Mag. So that was Hawaii. I think that Hawaii is so beautiful and so attractive a state that the production companies are always trying to figure out how they can shoot a TV show there.
Well, if that were the case, then why don't they come up with a show about Tahiti or Fiji? There must be, you know, shows they could do on Fahiti, or not Fahiti, but TG.
Not TG, Fidiji.
Wait a minute.
I know what it's called. It's called Fidiji. Now, it's called it's called Tahiti.
No, yeah, it's called Fiji. It's Tahiti and Fiji.
Are you guys doing that on purpose?
No, I'm sorry, Phil. It is. It's
Fiji and it's Tahiti.
Yes. What are you pissed off about?
Because you got me confused. That's why I'm pissed. I need it. I've got something wrong with my throat. Can I get some water? God.
Yeah, get some.
Take it easy.
Take it easy. When I was trying to tell you about Tahiti.
Here.
Hold on for a minute. Ah. Now, I was trying to tell you idiots about Fiji. God.
Better get some more water.
Do you think?
Fiji. You were trying to tell us about Fiji. And Fiji and Tahiti.
Yes, that's it. Why don't they, and the general was saying, why don't they film TV shows there?
Yes, if you could shoot a show in Tahiti.
In Tahiti. It's too far away. The production on that would be very expensive. So the closest you can get to paradise and not break the bank is Hawaii.
What about Mexico?
Mexico's a different thing. You're going to have to get the permits from the government down there, you know. And those are probably, in my opinion, in terms of physical beauty, just natural physical beauty, those are the two most beautiful spots close to the United States. I know a lot of people say the Caribbean. Nope, not for me, man. Not for me. Mexico or Hawaii.
Well, you don't like the Caribbean for racial reasons.
Really, Mr. Henry?
How dare you say that?
Phil, you said so.
I didn't say that at all. I said I didn't like the people. We're very unfriendly. Has nothing to do with race.
Well, but black people down there.
Yeah, you got caught being all racial and everything.
Now, wait just a minute. I agree with Phil. I've been to the Caribbean, and I can tell you that...
General, don't worry. Don't take my side. I can do this.
No. I think they're being very unfair to you. I've been to the Caribbean, and I can tell you...
God, your throat, man, is jacked up.
Get some more water.
Phil is absolutely right. The people down there...
A lot of the people in the Caribbean are very unfriendly. And that's not just my opinion. That's the opinion of a lot of people that go there, including black folks, black Americans, who have told me that when they go to the Caribbean, they don't get treated very well at all themselves. So it's got nothing to do with race. It's got everything to do with just, I don't know, there's a sort of an attitude on some of the islands, not all of them. I can tell you that I've been visiting the Caribbean for 20 years, and the best place I've been in terms of the people, in terms of the beauty of the place and how nice the people are, was St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Those folks are a world apart from the rest of the Caribbean. They're the nicest people in the world. And I would highly recommend visiting St. Vincent and the Grenadines because they are not, they don't have some of that attitude, man.
Well, where do you find this attitude you're talking about?
Jamaica, the Bahamas, Cayman. Cayman, not so bad, but still, you know, you name it. But I think that St. Vincent and the Grenadines, I would go back there in a heartbeat, man. That's a beautiful, beautiful place. But I've got friends that have had terrible experiences in places that you would think was the second coming of Eden, like Barbados, you know.
But Barbados is supposed to be really beautiful.
No, I agree. I was in Barbados once, and the people down there are real ass. Excuse me. The people down there are real ass wipes.
And more water, General.
Well, I can't... Don't talk. General, you can't talk if your voice is going to crack like that. It makes you sound like a jackball.
What do you mean it makes me sound like a jackball? Geez, you're right. It does. So, yeah, it's a very tricky deal, I'll tell you that. All right, what happened to Joe Dickhead?
Well, you're talking all about a grenadine and everything.
Yeah, you're spending more time talking about the grenadines than you're not talking about football. Okay, well, I tell you what, General, how would you like to do our, when we come back, how would you like to do the football report?
I can't do the football report because my voice is cracking. What, do you want me to sound like a jackass?
Forget it. All right, I didn't, but who knows? All right, so we will be checking in with the lads, Joe Dickhead and the professor, when we come back. They had a absolutely atrocious weekend. Started out the first week, they went 9-4, betting on teams that were the least popular. Then the following week, they went, I think, 7-7, betting on teams whose coaches had the most vowels in their last names. And this past weekend, they went 5-8 on a coin flip. So they bet on only on teams that were, in point of fact, that won the coin flip. So,
in other words, whichever team had heads or tails?
I don't know. I don't know how they did it. I don't know whether they took heads, whether they took tails, or what they did, but that was it. So we'll find out how the weekend sized up. I mean, we know how it sized up. Oh, and that upset special they keep talking about. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.